This afternoon, brethren, I'd like to cover a topic that is really more serious than maybe we think about. There's an old saying that if the shoe fits, wear it. Well, I'm afraid that the shoe I'm going to talk about fits all of us, and we wear it. And it's something that we need to really take stock of in light of Scripture, because Scripture is designed to teach us constantly. Romans 15, verse 4. Everything is a learning experience. If you're not learning, you're not growing. This is why today so many students who go through school, into college, and out of that, they have not learned the basics. And it's amazing when employers hire them, they find out they are ignorant of certain basic skills they should have learned in high school or in college. So the word is very clearly given to us that in the Bible, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Scriptures and Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. We're here on this planet by the grace of God. We walk by the grace of God, and we are instructed to learn about this great God and His grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If we are not learning, then we're not growing. And today, people are not learning, and therefore, their lives are just drifting. Without a direction to give life meaning and purpose, you are like a ship without a rudder. You're just going around in circles, and you don't understand. And this is why evolution came on the scene, trying to give meaning and purpose to life, because nobody really knows what life is all about. And you have to go to the source of life to find out, and that is God Himself. He says, I am the one who gives you life. And everything is on loan from God. And we know that basically because the old saying, you can't take it with you when you go. The only time you can, or what you can take with you, is the character, godly character that you develop in this life that God has purposed for you as a man, as a woman. The Christian admonition is to be very alert to the examples of Scripture, everything being written for our learning. There were two things, and you have to remember that the Bible is the book of Israel. It's just not a book. It's a revelation book of how this God who has made the heavens and the earth revealed himself to a people who were just a small group of people who became a nation. He built them from scratch through a man called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had sons. They went into captivity. And at a prescribed time, what God did, he sent Moses to come in and, with God's power behind him, to deliver those people out of what we call the Egyptian captivity. And we celebrate that at Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread period of time. It is very, very important that we recognize that. And there is no other way to understand or make sense of the Bible when you try to read the Bible out of the context of Israel, because the Bible addresses physical Israel, and then Jesus comes in the New Testament and creates spiritual Israel, the Church of God. And we begin then to see what is written in the Old Testament is explained to us in the New Testament. And this is where men like the disciples and Paul and Peter begin to explain and how Jesus refers to the Old Testament and how these things are being fulfilled. Now, what we have to take into consideration is, like Paul warned, he says, all these things that happened to Old Testament Israel are for our learning upon whom the ends of the age are come. And we're being told that we're living in a period of time like no other period of time. And if you don't view this time in the context of the Bible, I submit you are lost. You cannot put your handle on what is going on. And that's why people who are trying to understand look around and they're confused. Only those who do reverence the Bible as the holy scriptures of Almighty God try to assess these things, but even then, they only see some things and they are missing other things. And we have to be just as careful ourselves as members of the Church of God, the body of Christ, because we may think we know something when we don't know it. And so God is constantly teaching us, he's showing us certain things that we must glean and understand. When you go back and study the history of ancient Israel, you find that there were two major areas of contention that God had with ancient Israel. He said all these things that happened to them can be summarized into these two things. God was very unhappy with them the way they kept the Sabbath. That's why he said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. While they were in Egypt, they did not keep the Sabbath. People are today in spiritual Egypt, and they don't really understand why that Sabbath command was given. It was to be an identifier between God and his people. Spiritually, it still is an identifier between God and the spiritual people of the New Testament. Now, it goes on to teach another very important lesson, and that is that not only Sabbath breaking was a problem, but another more dangerous and insidious problem that really brought Israel down. It was called idolatry. Idolatry. It is such a dangerous thing, this thing of idolatry, that you and I are exposed to 24/7 in this world. It's everywhere around us. And we need to recognize that, because this is one of the reasons God told us to come out of her, my people. In other words, back away and take a look at what you're actually living in, what you're experiencing. Because, yes, there are many well-meaning people on the face of the earth, but they are deceived, as we're told in Revelation 12:9, by a cunning spirit entity that has worked deception upon all mankind. And one of the greatest deceptions is the deception of religion, how God is to be worshipped. And that goes back, believe it or not, all the way to the Garden of Eden. And that's where you find the first introduction where God asked for a sacrifice to be given by Abel and Cain. Abel did what was pleasing in God's sight. He was doing it the right way. This is the way God wanted it to be done. Cain chose, he wanted the blessing as well, but he did it his way. So he was worshiping God his way. And God says, no, 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 Cain, that's not the way I want it. Well, he got upset, as you know, and it's all recorded. And, of course, it's called the way of Cain that has persisted down through time to our day and age today. It's alive and well on planet Earth. And so is the spirit of Korah. And so is the spirit of Balaam. All these things are alive. These spirit-driven powers behind the scenes are working on all mankind. So young and old alike, we're all subject to this, whether we realize it fully or not. So what God is telling us, the history of Israel is to illuminate us to understand how they were overthrown. Be careful in your worship of God when it comes to the Sabbath, as well as when it comes to the area dealing with idolatry. Please remember, the very first of the Ten Commandments states what? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, why is that? Because I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 7:1, it says that God is perfecting holiness in us. Holiness. He wants us to be like him. And he can't be like us, and we can't be like him if we're between two masters. We want to be like God, but we want to hold on to the world. We can't do it. He says it won't work that way. Since God is holy, God does not approve of that which is unholy. And we're all guilty of sin because we've all committed the unholy. This is the reason why the scriptures deal with the subject of clean or unclean. It's not, you know, people look at Leviticus 11 and they say, well, what's all this stuff about food? It's just a matter of a separation. God is just showing. The food oven by itself, people eat anything on the face of the earth today. They really do, because that's what people do. It tells us that in the book of Matthew, that that's what the nations seek after. What are they going to eat? What are they going to wear? Well, all these things, God says, I'll take care of all that. But what I really want is I want your trust. Your trust that I will take care of you. After all, look what I have done in creating everything. And I sustain it. Jesus put it this way. Look at the birds. I take care of the birds. Look at the flowers. I take care of them. What about you? You're worth more than all of that. Why? Because you're made in the image of God. Not the image of an orangutan. You're not in the image of something that came out of the swamp. You are a unique, marvelous creation by the hand of the God who reveals himself as the one who made us, and therefore has every right to tell us what we need to do to live this life. Now, he goes on to show in the scriptures that Israel was brought down by these twin killers, Sabbath breaking and idolatry. And you'll find all the stories in there about, from this group of people to the next group of people, it's the same old thing. They did it all over again. They repented. They started out in the right direction. And they go back, do the same thing again. It's just human nature in operation. Too many people today do not realize they worship idols. You and I are guilty of that. We have worshiped idols, but we didn't recognize it. That's why we can be deceived. If you are deceived, that means you don't know that you've been deceived. That's what counterfeiters count on. They give you counterfeit money because why? They're deceiving you to make you think it's a legit, but a person with a trained eye spots it and recognizes this is counterfeit. It's no good. It's not legitimate. You and I are being trained to recognize the counterfeit, the deception, where this terrible curse of idolatry has come on to plague mankind. It affects every one of us, young and old alike. Some of the areas that it affects us in our day and age today. Take a look at popular TV shows. Woo, you'll get every kind of thing under the sun. One of the greatest ones right now are all the superheroes and that who are the what? Marvel stars from Marvel magazine. And these are, you know, if you don't like this guy or that guy, just hang on, Wonder Woman's on the way. And this is what the latest is. Now she's coming on the scene. And so all of these things are there. What about programs for talented individuals? Would you like to become a star on American Idol? A lot of people do. There are people that refer to their different sports, people that they follow, they call them their idols. And why do we use those terms? We shouldn't even be using the term idol, but we do. And then what happens? We, unfortunately, worship the dead. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean we worship the dead? Oh, yeah. If people today do what? They can't wait to celebrate the death of Elvis Presley. And others like Michael Jackson and others that have gone before. All of these are people, as we say, they were there before, but they really become exceptional after they're dead. Because people want to believe Elvis is alive and has just left the auditorium. We hear these type of statements made. And so here again, sports idols, we idolize, as the Bible says in Romans, the first chapter, we worship the creature more than the creator. We talk about the creator very little bit. We talk about all these other things, and that's where our focus is. All right, I want to go through some scriptures very quickly, and I've entitled this sermon, Has Idolatry Invaded Your Life? Has idolatry invaded your life? You may think not. You may say, well, I don't worship idols. Don't be too quick to exempt yourself from that, because God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He tells us very plainly in his Ten Commandments that the very second commandment has been eliminated by most individuals in their understanding. They have dropped the second commandment because it deals with the subject of idols. And what did they do? They separated the tenth commandment and split it in two and made it the ninth and tenth. But if you go over to Europe or any of the major churches where you will see these things in the churches you visit, as you tour various countries, you will see all kinds of idols and icons of these different religions. And they all have them. They all have them. And if you go up into Alaska, they have their totem poles up there and things that are part of their worship. You can go to the New Zealand and see the Maoris and some of their ideas and what they have. All these different nations have had gods that are not gods. And God even takes us to task as a nation of Israel. He says, has a nation forsaken their gods, which are not gods? He says, Jeremiah says, no. They're still worshiping those gods like they did centuries before. But, he says, my people, the Israelites, that's the house of Judah, and also the spiritual as well, have to take note of this, that physical northern Israel, which became the northern tribes that were taken into captivity, where did they end up going? Ephraim, Manasseh, and all these other Israelite countries that are part of those tribes. And what happened? What happened to them? They all worshiped Baal, or it's called Baal. It's a rising spirit in this day and age of this pagan type of worship that was done back. And you read about that where Jeroboam II, he led them into this type of thing where Israel sinned greatly. And so we have it all around us today. And if it's all around us, can we say that it hasn't invaded our lives? No, we're guilty as charged. We have worshiped idols by what? We have put too much confidence in things and human beings. We have put confidence in organizations. We have put confidence in all kinds of things. Maybe a leader of a nation, and he's going to be our great savior, and he's going to do that. No, the Bible makes it plain that it is God who is our savior through Jesus Christ. And that has to be affirmed in our minds. Notice 1 Corinthians, I'm going to give you these scriptures very quickly, and I'm going to emphasize certain key parts of these scriptures. But you can do that at your own leisure. You'll find it's dynamite. This is what infuriates God. He does not take kindly to idolatry, where our eyes should be fastened on him and the marvelous works that he does, and yet we sit and we talk about the marvelous things we have done with AI, alternate type of intelligence, artificial intelligence, AI. And we create robots. Oh, you do, God says. You create robots that work? Yeah, that's great. They can be helpful. But I create the heavens and the earth. I make all things. And you don't even give me credit for this. You can see why God gets a little bit, as I would say, perturbed, and why he put it in his Ten Commandments. And he says, look, if you're going to worship, you better worship me the way I want to be worshiped, not like you see this world you're living in. And these people today, many, as I say, well-meaning people, think they are Christian, but they're guilty of idolatry because idolatry can be very deceptive. Oh, there's nothing wrong with a tree on December 25th, is there? There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people, well-meaning people, put them in their house all the time at that time of the year. But Jeremiah 10 says, learn not the way of the nations, the heathen. Don't do that. Leave the tree outside where God put it. Don't bring it in and cut it down and bring it in the house. It can't do anything, but yet many people do it. And it's part of history and man's history. All right, let's take a look at this now. An idol is anything or anyone that you love more than God. If you love something more than God, that becomes your idol. You trust in it more than God, and you give more attention to it than God. Well, in the 1960s, there was an article on Time magazine. It was called God is Dead. It was the movement that was beginning to undermine spiritual devotion to the Supreme Creator. I've got a copy of that magazine. I kept it for posterity's sake. I thought, oh, brother, does this really signal the beginning of the end, where people today, in their vanity, want to walk around and say, I don't believe in God. Fine, don't believe in God. But you can't explain anything else without him, because everything needs God. And you can't function without him. And if he ever decided to pull the plug, we'd all be gone in a flash. That's how fast things can happen. So God needs to be feared, and he needs to be revered in the eyes of all people. And he is not. He is mocked. He is spat upon. His name is taken in vain. All you have to do is go on a golf course, and they understand that you'll hear Jesus in all kinds of four-letter words used with his name. And it's a shame. It's a shame that human beings have sunk to this area. So could you be guilty of idolatry? The answer is yes. Let's notice what the admonition of Scripture says. It tells us very plainly in Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14, and you will see something here that escapes most people. Outwardly, they may say, I don't worship idols, and that may be true. But in Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, it says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. It's what goes on in their minds, the deep inner sanctum of their thinking. He says, and they put a stumbling block to their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Notice verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block in his iniquity before his face, it says, and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols, and that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they have all estranged from there through their idols. Therefore, says the house, to the house of Israel, in verse 6, thus says the Lord to Israel, Repent and turn yourself from your idols and turn away from your face from all your abominations. And the next verse talks about the same thing, about idols of the heart. Things that are going on in our mind that we forget, concentrate too much on, when we shouldn't be thinking about those things. We should be giving God the glory and the honor. Here is something that Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. Many of these are in the New King James Version. I won't read all of it, but here's a good example of what we should be doing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. He says, For this you know. This is what we're supposed to know, not guess at. We're supposed to know this. That no fornicator, you got to know what fornication means. No unclean person means you got to know what to stay away from that defiles you. That's why like clean and unclean foods was an example. Nor covetous individual, covetous man, that means wanting things that you hunger and desire for. And who is an idolater? There you go. Means you worship other gods. You've got other things in place of the true God. He says, and none of those are going to inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Here again, we're told to really stomp out any wrong desire to do things that are contrary to God. It says, and we are to do what? It says we are to put those things to death, again, fornication, uncleanness, passion, and what have you, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Please remember in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul said, I would not have known what idolatry was, or covetous was, he says, but it shows itself that covetous, which is idolatry, we can begin to covet certain things, and all of us are guilty at some time coveting things that we should never have coveted. In John, he writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, Dear children, keep away from anything that might take the place of God in your hearts. Anything that might take the place of God in your hearts. Now, what would that be? Could it be bad company? And the answer is yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 tells us again, that if you have company with anyone who is a brother, somebody who you interface with, who you consider a brother or sister in Christ, and guess what it says? You discover they're sexually immoral, covetous, or an idolater. It says a reviler, a drunkard, or an extortioner. You're not even to eat with such a person. But guess what? You'd have to go off the planet because most people are guilty of some of these things. And so what God is telling us, that we have eaten with others who are this way. They've been in our midst over the years. They've always been in the human story. But what we have to recognize is this. When we find out, we have to make a line of demarcation and say, I'm sorry, this is it. We have to part company. Can't be together anymore. Why? Because you're asking me to tolerate what I see in the Bible saying that is wrong. And I can't carry on. For example, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he goes on, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites. The whole purpose right there is plain and simple. These things are unacceptable in worship toward God. In Galatians chapter 5, we're called the works of the flesh. Have any of us been guilty of the works of the flesh in our life? Oh, I'm sure we have to one degree or another. Verse 20 talks about idolatry as one of the works of the flesh. And we're told to stay clear of that. So idolatry is listed right along with what God would consider people who are doing sinful things. What about judgment? What about judgment? Scriptures that tell us, again, about the seriousness of this thing of idolatry. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. It says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, that's pharmakia, or the Greek word for druggies, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the second death, the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, the second death, dear brethren, is to be avoided at all costs. That's why those who are striving for the first resurrection in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, were told what? They are spared. They don't have to fear about the second death because they've passed the test. They are now in the kingdom of God. They've accomplished what God had called them to, and they are now in the kingdom of God. Revelation 22, verse 15, has an interesting aspect that I want to put a stress to here for all of us. Because all of us are guilty. My point is not to throw stones at us or try to make us feel terrible. God is just saying, look, these things have erupted in all of our lives to one degree or another. And it's sad when we see it. And we should run to God quickly and ask God to forgive us once we see something of this nature happening in our lives, whatever that might be. But in Revelation 22, verse 15, this is now picturing into the kingdom of God, and notice what's outside. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, again, dealing in drugs, sexually immoral, because it defiles the purpose of why God made man and woman, and murderers, destroying the gift of life, idolaters, who worship other things rather than worshiping the God who gave them their life, and whosoever loves and practices, there's the word, practices a lie. God is watching us to see what we say, what we do, what we practice every day of our lives. Are we practicing the things that draw us closer to God, that allow us to perfect holiness in a relationship with God through His Holy Spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7, 1. And then God tells us what? Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. You shall have no other gods before me. Tell me, dear brethren, why did he make that the first commandment? Why didn't he make it the 10th? Because what's really important to God, he doesn't want anything that muddies the water between God and our relationship with Him. Every time we practice sin, we hurt the relationship that we have been given in living life. It is so sad. Barbara and I heard of some individuals that we heard not too long ago. These are not people in the church, but this is a gentleman and his wife had a nice family. What happens in the process of time, we just heard. He decided to leave his wife and his several children and go run off with another girl, a younger woman. And what does that do for that family? You see, the sad part of it was he was one who preached the good life, but he did just the opposite and destroyed the relationship because he practiced something else than what he was supposed to practice. You and I destroy relationships with each other. We destroy relationships with our children. We destroy relationships with our God, with nations destroying each other. Why? Because they practice selfish ambition, wanting their own way. We're just as guilty. We have to repent and ask God to forgive us daily where we get ourselves in the way and ask God to create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us daily. Because God says, look, I want to be number one in your heart. Why? Because I made you. I want to have an eternal relationship with each and every one of you. And you look and you say to yourself, who, me? And you look at the stars at night in the heavens, there's so many of them. And you say, wow, why so many? Because look at mankind, 8.5 billion people. That's a lot of people. And according to Hebrews 1, that's our inheritance out there. God's created all of that because He has a marvelous plan and He wants all of us to have a part in it. Wow, what a God. But He says, if you want to practice something other than worshiping me the way I've outlined, He says, I'm sorry, access denied. And that will be a very hard day for those who have access denied when they realize what they have lost and what they have had a chance to do. People today love entertainment more than God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, they have a form and ceremony of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They love money more than God, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. And they are guilty of idolatry by putting these things in place of God. Now, we can sit here and we can say, well, I don't do that. Well, you don't do that consciously no more. None of us do. We really want to have God first and foremost in our heart. But I've got news for you, folks. You're up against a very wicked and deceitful spirit in this world that wants to do what? Draw our eyes to other things and people. All you have to do is listen to what's happening to people, and they're being drawn away from God. They want no part of God. Because why? God makes them feel uncomfortable. Because He's holy. And when He's holy and you're practicing what's evil and He says is unclean and dirty and I cannot have a relationship with that, then it makes you feel bad. And so what you do is the only way you can live, take some drugs, make yourself feel better, get your mind on something else, but forget about God because God, if I think about God, God's going to make me feel I need to stop practicing sin. And you see, there is pleasure in sin for a season. And that's what sucks people in. They go after the pleasure of the moment and they forget the consequences. How about that poor woman and her children, and her husband deserts the family for another woman? It happens every day. It's the stuff soap operas are all about. The thing of it is, you don't want it to happen to you. What am I saying? I'm saying be sure you strive to do the things that God has asked you to do to the best of your ability, and never allow yourself to practice sin. That's what God is watching to see. Today, people worship God, but they serve their own gods. That's what happened in the scripture back there in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 28 and 29. 2 Kings 17, 28 and 29. What you have back there is the story of northern Israel taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And after a while, certain problems began to erupt, and they brought another practicing priest to come in to work with the Samaritans that were now in that northern part of Jerusalem and Israel, better stated. And it says in verse 33, it says, so they worshiped the Lord, but they served their own gods. They gave lip service. You know, this is what really causes concern to me today. Are we guilty of just giving God lip service? I hope not, because that's what so many people are doing today. They're just giving God lip service, but they're going about worshiping their own gods and the idols of their own heart. God wants us to really love him, because he says the land, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, he says the land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. Artificial intelligence. That's what's happening today. People worship their cars, their cell phones, their flat screen TVs. No wonder God warns the church in Laodicea. He says, so you think you're rich and increased with goods, and you think you have need of nothing? You're practicing things, folks. God is saying, church, please, don't make the mistake your ancestors made. It's for our learning. We are to repent of all idolatry because it's detestable. It infuriates God. It really does. All God wants us to do is to be acknowledged that he is our king and the maker of all life. And it is, he tells 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourself from idols. That's a work we have to do, and it's going to be hard because it's all around us, folks, all around us. All you today, people are tied to the computer. They're tied to artificial intelligence, and God only knows what they're going to unleash on us in the years ahead, because they're working on things behind the scenes that you and I have no knowledge of whatsoever. But all of these things are designed to do what? Take us away from the worship of God so that we worship idols. And if we do that, what does the God of this world say? Worship me? I'll give you everything you want. What are political leaders telling us now? Vote for us. We'll give you everything you want. And we know they can't do it. It's just talk, because talk is cheap. As the old saying, put your money where your mouth is. Show me the money. Show me that you're not practicing what is wrong. Well, that's our job, dear brethren, and we're told it's going to be a long one. Here's where we end up, and God thanks us when we do this. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Paul is telling the Thessalonians, he says, I'm so happy because, he says, from where you used to be, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We serve the living and true God. And there can be no greater honor than that for any of us to say, who do you worship? You are a servant of the true and living God. May God help us to practice that each and every day of our lives.